it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN. Thanks to Stephen Reese for joining us from the Ringer. Frank Bonner's going to join us at 125. We'll talk Memphis football with him. They got a big game this weekend against Troy. I guess it's just big because it's happening. It's not really a big game, but it is a game. And because there are only 12 of them, it does count as big. But no game against a Sun Belt team or a Conference USA team should be big. Let's be honest. It's just not.
Big in the sense that you got to get to 3-0 for Arkansas.
I mean, yeah, you lose it, you're done,
it's
right?
It's a big game, not a big opponent, to your point.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a big beatdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
Raise it how you like.
But we'll talk to Frank Bonner about that at 125. Every day around the noon hour, we do the rundown. Let's go. All right, iShow Speed Stream Update. He's downtown. He's in downtown Memphis right now by the mighty Mississippi. His team is really talking up the Mississippi River. They're like, we're about to go see the Mississippi River. And he's just like, he is so fascinated by the idea of the Mississippi River, which I hate to say it, that's going to be an underwhelming sight when he does see it.
Where's he from?
I don't know. Great question. I do not know where Speed is from.
We can find out very quickly.
I know he's a really young guy,
though.
It's
like Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay, yeah.
That's where he's born. I not necessarily mean where he grew up.
Yeah, he's only 20 years old. You know, I mean, so that's the kind of guy we're talking about here, right? And his career didn't even really get started until 2021. So in 4 years' time, he has amassed 44 million subscribers. And, you know, I it's just amazing. These guys, we talk about, you know, the wave of media in 2025, you know, and this is it, you know, just basically getting a camera crew and just documenting everything you do around, you know, and obviously he's got a great personality. People gravitate toward him. I mean, I've never seen, like, I legitimately think John Morant would be able to move around Memphis more quietly than Speed. Like John Morant has, I'm sure, gone out and hasn't needed 15 security guards. You know, I mean, he does. You can't be John Morant. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but like Penny, you know, I mean, Penny can walk around and not get mobbed like this. I mean, this dude gets mobbed. He's like, you got cars honking at him. You got people showing up out of nowhere to come see him. Like, this dude is like Michael Jackson or something in his peak. I mean, he's just so much of a celebrity. And why? I have no idea. I mean, he's a streamer, but he's here in Memphis. This particular stream is being watched by 42,331 people, which is probably more than an FS1 talk show right now, right? I mean, we can say that. And so, yeah, man, it's quite the pop culture thing that's happening right now. I don't know what his plan is. I don't know where he's going to be today. You know, we've endeavored. I've sent a couple comments that certainly did not get read in the chat.
I know what. There's too many coming in.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't even know if I don't know if I can get them. I think I need more than, you know, hey, come do some radio, man. I got to have more to offer. But you know, because he's probably helping us more than we're helping him, bro, at that point. But, yeah, man, it seems like, honestly, he met with the mayor. We got to get him on the University of Memphis campus with Penny. There's no doubt about that. It does seem like he's getting a lot of love in Memphis. It seems like he'll be somebody that says a lot of nice things about the city. And honestly, that's a good place. Like it's a good thing if iShow Speed can come to Memphis and on his stream say, man, I loved Memphis. They showed so much love. It was cool. It was a good time. Like you start talking about reversing perception, man. I know that to some people out there who are listening, they're like they don't have any idea who this guy is, and that's fine. But the guy has 44 million subscribers on YouTube. Like he's one of the biggest creators on the entire platform, and so. The fact that he's coming, it's honestly, it's a win for the city. It's a huge win for the city of Memphis, for Paul Young, for the people involved. I don't know who did what. I don't know why they chose Memphis. I don't know the backstory. I don't have any idea. But the fact that this dude is making Memphis a stop on his tour, he's calling it the IRL Stream in America Tour. 35 days. This is day 15. He could have just skipped Memphis. Like, I went to Nashville, whatever. I don't got it. But you know, somebody got into his ear, said, you got to go to Memphis. And he's showing that he's showcasing the city. It's a positive thing. It's all love. You know, I think it's a great thing. So right now he's just walking around downtown with his security group. People are absolutely mobbing him. I will keep this on.
Good.
So like, you know, maybe he wants to, maybe he stops by the University of Memphis.
Oh, he's kind of already in that direction. He kind of left that direction when he's at Brother
Universe. That's true. Yeah. So I don't know what the plan is, but I assume there'll be some Memphis sports figures involved in one way or another at some point, whether it's Penny, whether it's, you know.
I wonder if John and Jaren are tuned into a guy like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's young.
He is young.
If that's not so, you know, sort of their vibe.
No, you're right. They're probably vibe. I mean, hell, I'm 34 and I'm in. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they're probably a little bit, they're not old enough to where it's like that they can like say, oh yeah, I'm watching Speed.
Maybe Cedric Coward.
I was going to say like.
Some of the younger guys. Though.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking Cedric Coward could, you know, Edie.
Mm.
The worm guy is back.
Who is the worm guy?
He's this white dude that has followed them just to do the worm. He did it at Brother Juniper's, and he has now followed them to do it downtown.
That feels desperate.
He's definitely desperate.
Because you already showed it to us, bro. Showed it to him. You've shown it to the world at Brother Juniper's. Don't need to keep doing
it. And I will say, Speed, not impressed. I mean, I think it was a great worm. I don't think we needed the sequel. But, you know, again, this is he's getting in the car. They're going somewhere. We'll see where it is. Could it be the 92.9 studios?
John is covering the live stream.
This is amazing. This is a great day I'm serious. This is a great day for the city of Memphis. I think it could be a positive thing. And let's get my guy Kai Sinat here. Let's get him in town. He's next.
Well, if your man here has a good experience, perhaps you know the chances that we get Kai will increase.
I love Kai as well. I tune into the Mafia-thons when I get a chance. He's a positive vibes type of dude. He always has. When you come on Kai's stream, you have to end it with the positive motivational message. Mm-hmm. It's the shtick, right? And so I love Kai and what he does. So, you know, I'm watching, so you don't have to, but we'll see where the next stop is for Mr. Speed.
All right. We talked about the Thursday night football game tonight, Commanders at Green Bay. We didn't talk about this. We did talk about the Buffalo win, the miracle nature of it against the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday night. Did not talk about what Lamar Jackson did in that game, though, pushing that fan. That came after the fan put hands on him and DeAndre Hopkins. He's since apologized. Was it necessary? I guess is a question here. But he went ahead and did it. Said, just chill next time, Jackson said after Wednesday's practice. You can talk trash and stuff, but keep your hands to yourself. That's what he was saying to the fan. Just happened. Jackson said, I got pushed. I'm like, what? I wasn't even thinking about me being out there on the field. My apologies to him. This was during Sunday's 41-40 loss. They were celebrating near the front row of its Highmark Stadium there in Buffalo. After he threw a 29-yard touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins, they were celebrating back at the end zone. The fan, wearing a red Bills jersey, hit Hopkins in the head. You can see the replays of it. There's some close-ups of it. Just doesn't make any sense to make any sort of contact with the football player there, even if you're jeering him. And then he goes and does the same thing to Jackson. Jackson, unlike Hopkins, stopped, turned to him, pushed him, and he pushed him back into his seat, it looked like, in terms of the force level. And, we've talked about it, you know, players, fans, interactions, how the NFL has to avoid things like this, and certainly things like we saw in the NBA, Malice in the Palace, those sorts of things. This was different. It was clear right when the guy did it, I think, to security and everybody else. I think maybe even some other Ravens were pointing him out that this was on the fan himself. And he had probably earned the push in this case from Lamar Jackson, who then moved on. So we can go back to whether an apology was necessary. Lamar said you don't put hands on folks. The reason he apologized because he said you got security there for that.
Yep.
And that's, you know, I'm all for that. Again, the man touched you and DeAndre Hopkins, so he probably had it coming. But again, don't touch players. Players, let security handle it.
Yes.
Or it could get really ugly. Fortunately for the Ravens, it didn't. And in this case, the fan has been identified and suspended indefinitely from attending Buffalo Bills games. In other NFL news, we had touched on it yesterday. We had mentioned Purdy was going to be given about a week to see if he could play. He's now considered a long shot to play in week two. Probably not going to be able to go. He's dealing with toe and left shoulder injuries. Happened in the second quarter of the win over the Seattle Seahawks. And Shanahan thinks it's Still says it's possible, but a long shot. He was added to the injury report. It surprised some on Monday, especially after, initially playing through 26 of 35 for 277 yards and two touchdowns. Did throw two picks, though. Had another one that probably should have been picked. And, yeah, you know, we can say Mac Jones is competent and capable, but I don't have much faith in him. They need to get Purdy back in there as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I mean, you probably survive a week in New Orleans, right, with Mac Jones. I think that's certainly doable with, you know, everything else you have. And I just think that New Orleans roster is pretty tragic. But
we talked about it after that, though, and so they could go 1-3, right? Discussed
one. Yeah, because they have Rams coming up. I mean, you know, at some point, you're going to have to get your guys back. They've got
Jags, Rams,
yeah,
Bucks.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough stretch without Brock Purdy. You know, again, I think Mac, you know, I watched some preseason. Mac looked decent. You know, he you know, did what he's asked to do. I mean, he's not going to, you know, ever wow you or anything like that anymore at this point in his career. But yeah, I mean, I think if you're the 49ers, you're just trying to survive at this point. You're just trying to, hey, like, can we go, if we're going to miss him for 3 weeks, can we find a way to go 2-1? I mean, that's it. But this has sort of been the MO of the 49ers. It's just like, that's a team that was a real contender multiple years, multiple Super Bowls, through multiple quarterbacks. But the problem is that they just get banged up every year. I mean, in a way, it's kind of what we say about the Grizzlies, although I would say the Grizzlies weren't nearly as close as the 49ers were in multiple years. But it's like, you know, you can do all the things right. You can have the roster in place. You can be as close as you want to be. But you got to hold up, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the story of the 49ers. Like, they just don't. I mean, I don't think there's anything like the team doctor. Like, that's one of the things we love to do in Memphis, right? Like, we love to blame the team doctors. We're like, what's going on over there with the team doctor? Like we know anything. We don't know a damn thing. We just say things. Like, we don't, like, I don't think in San Francisco they're sitting there saying, what's going on with the trainers and the team? You know, it's just bad luck. You know, it's just, it is what it is. And there's nothing you can do about it. And that's tough for people to accept. It's like, Purdy's got the shoulder and the toe. Ayuk's gone. Pearsall got shot last year. I mean, sometimes it's just, you get good luck and you get bad luck, and it feels like it's been nothing. But, I mean, the worst luck was when Greenlaw gets hurt, it's coming on the damn field. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that changed the whole game.
Yeah.
I mean, it truly changed because they were up. They were winning. Greenlaw was getting after Mahomes and the running game, and you can't overcome that.
No, that's an awful injury luck.
Yeah, and so, and that, you know, some teams have great injury luck. Some teams don't have to worry. But like, I feel like the Chiefs have mostly had great injury luck over the years. The Eagles last year, great injury luck for the most part. You know, and a lot of times, like that's the decider. Oklahoma City in the finals, like, did they have any injuries? They have any? Like, I don't think so. Celtics 2 years ago, they had no injury bad luck, but they did this year. They lost Tatum, you know, and it catches up. So you're just trying to live on the right side of that coin, man. And the 49ers, unfortunately, it's just been one-sided, like, the whole time. McCaffrey last year, like, they got a whole laundry list of dudes that they've lost throughout the year. So I don't know, man. I mean, it feels like they should be a team that's there in the end, potentially with the Eagles, but I don't think we believe it because – the injury bug,
yeah.
You know, they're never going to be on the field, so you're going to end up getting passed up by teams like the Vikings. You're going to end up getting passed up by teams like the Packers that are just a little bit more you know, healthy than you. So,
and then there's the Malik Nabers situation. He had been asked obviously about his fiery blow up at the head coach, at Brian Daboll, and their loss on Sunday. A loss to, you know, they looked completely,
yep,
especially offensively, incompetent against the Commanders. Was asked about it. He said, the cameras were just on me. I have to be more conscious of that, whether it's stepping out of my box or talk to Daboll on the side, just being overall aware of where I'm at. He had 12 targets, 5 catches, 71 yards in the game. And, you know, some of us thought as we were watching that game, sort of in and out of it, that maybe that's part of perhaps some frustration with Russell Wilson as well, the quarterback situation. You've got a young man in Jackson Dart who, unproven, but seemed to, in the preseason, have a lot of the guys behind him in terms of the way he played. And just looking at him as a guy that's got more of a ceiling. We know Russell Wilson has hit his ceiling, and he's coming back down. He is limited now in his veteran status. So, I don't know, man. How do you deal with Malik Nabers? It's one thing when you're yelling at your coach, and it's competitive, and you're a winning outfit. You win the game, but you're a winning team. It's another thing when the losses pile up, right? Or there's bad quarterback play, those kinds of things. And the Giants, the Lord knows, with that schedule, the losses could pile up all year long.
Yep.
I'm just saying, if you're Dable, Alex, you know, you have a talk with him, obviously. This can't happen. You're showing me up in front of the nation. But how are you, I don't know, how do you have any trust in a guy that, you know, a losing situation, you're trying to find men who are with you. When a guy's questioning you like that openly, I don't care how hot it is, it undermines your authority.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you deal with him if you're Brian Dable. But he was a part of picking him. He had him in there for the interviews and everything else.
Yep.
He knew his fiery side. He'd shown it down at, what, LSU when he wasn't getting the ball. So you, in many ways, you asked for this. But just be, again, he may be looking at it as, Brian Dable, my coach ain't going to be here much longer.
Right.
In fact, the general manager probably won't be either.
Right.
You know, Jackson Dart ain't going to save this to that point. So
yep.
He might be looking at it as, I don't have to respect these guys, but it can't be good for business. And, you know, the explanation wasn't even that good.
No, it wasn't.
In terms of taking personal account.
No, that definitely just seems like a disaster there, and there's no easy way out in New York. I mean, they're going to have to start fresh. Clean the whole house. And then, you know, that might work then, you know, because you have like the idea of a quarterback with Dart, new regime, you know, and then it'll be a rebuild for a year or two. And then you hope that
that's
you draft
what we
well.
Used to do, though, is draft a quarterback and then have a new coach come in that has to fit to that, as opposed to having the coach and the GM all lined up on the guy we take.
Yep.
That was formerly the Bears.
Right.
I don't know if that's necessary. It's not what they need ideally, because Shane and Dable picked Jackson Dart. They need it to work out.
Yep.
And save them. Obviously, while I did like what I saw from Jackson Dart, there's certainly no promise of him being good enough to save those guys' jobs.
We got more. I feel like every day we have this. We have more sports betting scandals in college basketball. We have more, bro. The latest, Arizona State last year. Arizona State has joined. The NCAA actually released a whole press release about this. But basically, they released a whole case thing here where they say they're in the process of alleging violations of sports betting rules and or related failure to cooperate violations for 13 former men's basketball student athletes who competed at 6 schools at the time that the conduct in question occurred. And basically, the infractions themselves are betting against their own teams, sharing information with third parties for purposes of sports betting, knowingly manipulating scoring or game outcomes, and or refusing to participate in the enforcement staff's investigation. This does include Temple. We've talked about Temple. High Sierra Miller was the guy in question. They're not naming players, but I mean, his name got reported and he was kicked off Virginia Tech. but it's Eastern Michigan, Temple, Arizona State, New Orleans, North Carolina A&T, and Mississippi Valley are the schools that were named in this, this release from the NCAA. There's going to be more to come on those. I think some of it we already know, like Temple, we already know, Arizona State's new, but this has been in the works for a couple of years. And again, they've kind of like, they haven't narrowed it down in terms of what actually was going on. They kind of gave you like, it could have been betting against their own team. It could have been giving information to third parties about something. It could have been rigging your own performance. Who was it we were talking about yesterday? Fresno State. Mm-hmm. You know, so we already have that on top of these 6 schools. So it's clearly become rampant in college basketball. It clearly has become a problem. And this isn't even just prop bets, right? We were talking about yesterday, all right, let's just take away prop bets. But now you got a guy that might be betting against his own team. You know, what if he's playing? We don't know the players involved. I actually do know the player for Arizona State. I'm not at liberty to name him, but he was a big-time rotation player for them. You know, he had influence over how a game outcome went.
Yeah.
And I know I bet on Arizona State last year a couple of times. And, of course, you go back. Like, was I betting on a rigged game? Was I betting on a game that was not – you know, above board? I mean, that's the stuff that you really, that's really the rough part of this is like, if you can't even believe that as a bettor that you're betting into something that's not predetermined or rigged, I mean, you might as well be betting on the WWE. I mean, that's unacceptable. So they have to fix this. I don't know if they can fix it. We'll see what the penalties are, but, you know, the NCAA says they're going to continue to monitor contests. They're going to advocate for betting market limitations. They're going to reduce the potential for student-athlete abuse by aggrieved bettors and create greater transparency to assist with the timely investigation and resolution of integrity-related issues. But, look, I always bottom line it yesterday. You're going to get caught. You're going to get caught. I mean, unless you are an absolute master of skillfully shaving points, which I don't think anybody out there is, you're going to get caught. You're going to get flagged. Your eligibility is going to be compromised. You're going to miss out on all that NIL money, and your career is going to be over. So don't do it. Don't do it. It's just not worth it. Even if you're at North Carolina A&T, bro, like, you could play your way up. Like, there's still hope for you. You could, like, go. Like, how many times have we seen guys make that jump in today's day and age? You don't have to be stuck in an HBCU for your entire career. Not there's anything wrong with that, by the way. You're playing for free, but you can make money someday. You don't have to throw games, man. You don't have to shave points. Just, you know, be a good player, have some integrity, and you'll find the rest will take care of itself. But yes, if you remember the Temple situation, that Memphis game was in the crosshairs 2 years ago.
That's right.
At Temple, I actually was on that game, Memphis -4.5, all right? And the number by the time it tipped off was like 8.5, 9. Now, you don't see 5-point moves on game day. That's what we kind of talked about, right? Unless there's injury. And to be clear, there's nobody on that on that crappy Temple team that, even if they were hurt, would have been worth 5 points. Like, Zach Edey at Purdue is probably worth 5 points. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember at the end of that game, it was very dramatic. And I believe Memphis won the game by 7. And it closed, you know, it opened 4.5, 5.5, 6.5, eventually got all the way up to 8.5, 9.5, came back, but fell 7 because of some turnovers from Hyster Miller and some fouls late. You know, I mean, it's just kind of peculiar stuff. And now you see that they're in, you know, the investigation here. So anyway, it definitely seems like it's going to be a problem. It's going to continue to be a problem. We haven't really heard about college football. The only thing we've heard about college football is, like, the guys doing, like, prop bets and stuff, like, you know, I guess not really, like, not against themselves, but maybe on themselves to go over something, which is, you know, an interesting dynamic and an interesting discussion. But it seems like this has been more of a college basketball problem than a college football at large problem. So anyway, that's the latest. More schools, including Arizona State, the first Power Four team that we've seen implicated in these betting scandal allegations, and we'll see what happens.
So Pablo Torre continues to report on the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, and possible circumventing of the salary cap to pay him situation. A limited partner with the Clippers reportedly sent nearly $2 million now to a now bankrupt company that allegedly gave Kawhi an endorsement deal for a no-show job less than 10 days before. The star forward was then paid $1.75 million by the company. Keep in mind, this company was going bankrupt and couldn't pay its employees.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the partner, in this case of Steve Ballmer, pumping in money. On Thursday, this was today, Torrey reported that Dennis J. Wong, a Clippers limited partner, invested $1.99 million in aspirations 9 days before the company made a $1.75 million payment to Leonard. The payment to Leonard was late, according to the payment schedule, as the company was reportedly having financial troubles before ultimately declaring bankruptcy. Again, they were about to lay employees off. They couldn't pay paychecks. So why is a limited partner of the Clippers pumping money in just to pay Kawhi? Again, shout out to Pablo Torre, who's been on this from the get-go. Some media outlets had ignored the story early, but they've all come on now, obviously, because the NBA is investigating. Now, Adam Silver yesterday sounded like a man who, frankly, it spoke to me of what we had sort of suspected, that there's no way he wants to punish Steve Ballmer, who has been good for the league, one of the league's richest owners. We talked about the Intuit Dome. Those guys have been buds. He talked about how that proof's going to need to be real, real strong before he does anything, whether it's a fine, whether it's a taking away of draft picks or anything else. Now, Ballmer, again, has been, the allegations have not been true. He's been, you know, staunch in terms of saying, I got conned by aspiration. We were not a part of paying Kawhi through it. But with the money that he invested into the company, and now that's clearly out there about his partner investing, at a time,
yep.
you don't invest anything into a company that's going bankrupt. Who would do that?
Yep.
Who's making a $2 million investment? I think they had made hundreds of millions of dollars of investment. That's typically what you see with a business like that when it's going bankrupt, to save it.
Yep.
This was $2 million just to pump out 1.75 to not, you know, the employees that are sitting there working at the desks, but to Kawhi Leonard. And for a no-show contract. Doesn't make a, I just, all of the reporting points to indications that the Clippers knew what was going on and were taking care of Kawhi through this bankrupt company that was one of their sponsors at one point. It's going to be, again, interesting to see what the NBA does about it and what level of proof Adam Silver feels like he needs. So how thorough is this investigation? Those questions should probably be out there. But when you're getting this kind of reporting
yep.
from Pablo Torre, who, oh, by the way, has sources from Aspiration, who said this is what the deal was.
Yep.
I mean, that's how this started. And he's got paperwork and everything else. It's going to be tough to wiggle your way out of this one. Again, Ballmer said, no, I'm not involved. We'll see.
It's been a tough 24 hours for Adam Silver because – not only do you have this on your desk that you're trying to figure out, but he was asked, I don't know exactly where he would have been yesterday, but he was asked about, the rising costs of, the ability to watch the NBA mm-hmm. in 2025. And his response was quite brilliant. He said that we're a highlight-based sport, and if you don't have the money, you can just watch the highlights. I mean, I'm sort of simplifying it, but that's what he said. There's a huge amount of our content that people can essentially consume for free, and this is very much a highlight-based sport. So Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, you name it, any service, there's an enormous amount of content out there. YouTube is another example that is advertising-based that consumers can consume. That was his response to a question about the costs of subscriptions required to watch the games in the NBA's new media rights deal, which to me, I mean, we know that they don't care about you, the fan, but that's basically like letting you know without a shadow of a doubt they don't care about you, the fan. You can't afford it? Watch it on TikTok, bro. I don't know what to tell you. We got some highlights for you. Top 10 John Morant dunks. I thought that was like a completely tone deaf. If I was an NBA, and again, all they're doing is counting money because they have a $76 billion media rights deal, right? That's all they care about. They don't care how easy it is to access. They don't care how much it costs. All they care is they got their money. Mm-hmm. You, the fan, you be damned. Whether you watch, that's the thing. We have these conversations about ratings and how many people are watching NBA, how many people aren't. They don't care because they got their money. Three people could watch. They don't care. They got their money. Now, have they lost fans? No doubt about it. Do they care? No, they don't. I mean, I hate that, right? Like, I really do. I hate that the NBA has become so out of touch with the common fan because I love it. You love it. We love basketball. We love the Grizzlies. But there's just no denying that this has become a pain in the ass to try to watch. I mean, the NFL, we can certainly say the same thing for. I mean, you got to have Peacock. You got to have, Red Zone. You got to have. I don't even know what you got to have. I have Sunday Ticket. That costs money. All those different things. But the NFL is the king. We shouldn't have to work this damn hard to watch NBA basketball. All right. It should be made easy, and it's not. It's being made much more difficult. So again, in some ways, his ownership groups, his governors, they love him. He's gotten me a $76 billion, 11-year, $76 billion media deal. But the NBA fan, like, this guy sucks. This guy sucks. And everything he tries, is a fail. Like, every big idea he's had has been a fail. Like, the All-Star Game reconfiguration, whatever the hell they're doing now, I don't even know. They're going to have a 3-on-3 turn. I don't even know. It's been a fail, all of it. This is like just another, to me, callous way of saying to the fan, we don't care about you. We got our money. Suck it. You can watch it on Instagram if you don't like it. You can say what you want about David Stern, man, but that dude was in touch with the fan.
Yeah. on Pablo real quick. I just thought this quote was interesting, that story. The anonymous former Aspiration official, that's the company that paid Kawhi, that's basically being used as the circumvent spot, or being accused of being the circumvent spot. We were talking about why you would make a $2 million investment into the partner of the Clippers, into a company that's going broke. Here's the quote. There's multiple things that are conspicuous. We're broke. We're broke, so to invest in a broke company is beyond me. And the other thing is the amount that's being invested. That's such a nominal amount if we're talking pure investment, especially in a late-stage startup that's already raised a year earlier $300 million. What does $2 million buy you? Again, to pump in $2 million to this company that's not going to save,
right,
and then 1.7 goes out to Kawhi, it comes from a limited partner of the Clippers. How is that not paying Kawhi part of his deal? So Pablo,
right?
It feels like with he's got, in terms of evidence and reporting, that he's got him dead to rights. Ballmer's repeatedly denied. We'll see what John's man Silver, who, yes, right now seems to have lost the pulse on just about everything.
Yeah, I mean,
does about it.
I mean, you remember you used to tell these stories about how you would drive up to the sports bar in the snow and you'd watch the, you know, the dunk contest and things like that, you know? I mean, man, those days are over, bro.
Not long ago.
We ain't checking for the NBA like that anymore. And again, I love it. I love going to Grizz games. I enjoy the experience quite a lot, to be honest. But between the media rights deal, between the lack of consistency with stars playing, it just feels like the league has gotten way worse on his watch. I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons why, right? It's like we don't see the stars nearly as much as we should or used to, since he took over. And I'm not saying that his fault, but it did happen on his watch. Like load management was a purely Adam Silver production. And I know he's tried, you can say, to mitigate it with the 65 men, but they don't care about that, bro. Oh, I'm not going to be eligible for a sixth man of the year. Damn. That really is tough, man. That's really gonna make me want to play this back to back if I have a chance to win that. And I don't care, bro. Most improved player, even MVP is like, you know. I mean, we talk about it quite a bit, but I don't know how much it matters anymore. Those are tough things. Those are tough things for the NBA to overcome. It feels like. And this story, I mean, what has he done that's good? Like, what would you say? Like, what's Adam Silver's crowning achievement?
I don't. Right now, he doesn't look like a good commissioner. He has given a lot of the power back to the players. Some would argue that's been a bad thing for the league. The players wouldn't tell you that, certainly. That time, getting them through COVID, they were the first sport back. He's been lauded for that, were they not? Playing in a bubble or whatever else, or around that. He's lauded through getting the NBA through that.
Yep.
I'm not here to make a case for Adam Silver being a great commissioner. It's not what I do. I just know that I have big doubt he will handle this Ballmer thing correctly. Again, he says the burden of proof is on the NBA. He's right about that, but the phrasing of it, as if I need to see more than what Pablo Torre already has out there. I've already questioned the way he comes down on players and everything else. It feels like you've lost your grip a little bit.
Yep.
In your quest for world domination, to try to be the NFL,
yep.
You know, making sure things are good with China so we can get that money flowing again. Maybe you've lost touch a little bit with the game here, with your average fan, when you're telling us, like the NFL would, you know, just watch our highlights. Like that ain't you. And so I would just say, you know, this guy that's feeling himself feels like he's lost the pulse a little bit. Doesn't surprise me at this point in his career as commissioner, but I don't think he's going anywhere either.
Yeah, no, he's not. Because he's making money.
I think the majority of players would tell you the money's flowing.
Right.
We just got this media rights deal done. We like him. So no. He ain't going anywhere. And like I said, nobody's going to, you know, yes, we'll look at these comments and say, well, that's not a good way to talk to people. But the guy's locked in his players right now.
Here's the deal. Everybody's eating right now.
100%.
Everybody's eating. So from the player and the ownership standpoint, they love him.
But I'm just saying, tone-wise, you can't come off like Goodell. You are not at that level.
Right.
And so, yes, you run the risk of running off of a few of us normal people that says, this ain't right.
But why would you, like, highlight league, bro? I mean, that can't be your goal. Like, your goal is to say, come watch some highlights on social media.
Very poorly phrased. You're talking about a man that's being shot questions about the Clippers situation, a situation he probably doesn't want. I mean, I have no idea how these answers came out. I know he's being asked, too, about the Clippers situation. Got a lot on his plate right now. I think, foolishly talked, you know, in terms of addressing this. It's very, you fumbled the bag. I mean, you did it very, you know, recklessly.
No doubt about that.
In terms of the way he phrased that. So
I'll be interested to see just how hard he comes down on the Clippers here. My guess is not very hard. But anyway, we will monitor that. I'm sure Pablo will have something more for us
tomorrow.
Well,
he's not stopping. He keeps coming out every day. This was this morning that he had the latest about Wong and the $2 million payment. $1.7 goes immediately out to Kawhi. How do you do that when the company's bankrupt? Nobody's making investments in a bankrupt company. He just couldn't. Respect Berger. Told you from the get-go, Pablo doesn't care.
No doubt.
He's not part of the big machine that's not going to investigate these things.
That's right. That's right. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Frank Bonner's going to join us. He had a piece today about Brendan Lewis, who's already on a record-setting pace from a rushing standpoint at the quarterback position. So, you know, that's the part that he's bringing to the team. We'll talk about if it can continue over the course of a season. Lots more to come. Jason and John,
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
FM, ESPN. So speed update is right in front of the forum as we speak. So you just never know who's going to pop out now. A lot of people trying to get at him, trying to give him gifts. He just kind of keeps on pushing, man. He just kind of keeps, he just glazes right on by, man.
Well, it's hard stuff to talk to everybody, I imagine.
Yeah.
It continues to be the same mob scene it was outside Junipers in terms of the crowd that's around him.
Yeah.
Have people like followed him, continue to follow him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
One day, Brad and I, us old guys, will understand this.
I mean, there's a guy that's like kind of get. I don't know if he's getting violent, but he's getting like very fired up right now, and security's having to hold him back. I mean, it's just. I mean, I know people out there may think I'm crazy for being interested in this, but
what I read is that it was his often violent behavior during his live streams that made him take off. Back in 2017, he was only averaging 2 viewers per live stream playing 2K and Fortnite.
Okay.
This man has blown up, and he did it posting those clips on TikTok of his little outbursts.
Right.
Those went viral, and then he blew up on Twitch or whatever else.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's actually been his outbursts have resulted in bans from the streaming platform Twitch now and the video game you may be familiar, Valorant. Valorant.
Yeah.
He was banned from that as well.
It was never my favorite game, but
he acts a little, acting a little crazy is what kind of got him to the top.
It was part of the shtick for sure.
Okay. But I haven't seen, does he do that anymore? Sounded like that was his beginnings and kind of what blew him up, but I haven't seen a guy that's acting a fool or nothing in terms of the, you know, his time here.
Like, we were talking about this with Ja yesterday, right? Like, when he was on that stream with his buddy, he was trying to get his... It always starts with video games.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it always starts.
That's how it started for this man.
And then it becomes, when you get enough people, and you get enough... Like, and now it becomes about you. You know, so they come for the game initially.
Right.
And then when they sort of decide, all right, do you have the personality? Like, do I want to continue to watch? Like, it becomes about you. And so now he does... I don't know if he plays video games anymore. You know, I mean, Kai Sinat really doesn't, you know, it's all about guests, you know. It's about, he has people come over, they kind of get it like Ice Spice and, you know, Lotto and all that, you know. It's like, who's gonna pop in? Who's going to pop up in the stream, you know? Is it going to be a Ja Morant coming over to this stream today? Is it going to be a Jaren Jackson Jr.? It doesn't seem like it. He's walking well past the forum now, and who knows where he's headed. Maybe they will go see the Mississippi River again.
I don't say you came up from the river, right? I mean, if he's not hitting Beal,
right, which he kind of just came off of,
okay,
because he was like looking directly at the.
Did he see the MLGW building that we need to hand over to the Grizzlies?
I don't know.
That's right by the Orpheum, as you know.
I don't know. I mean, I actually,
I don't know what else there is down there if we're done with the Forum and we're done with Beal.
Well,
and the Mississippi.
Yeah, I do think, you know. One thing I would like to negotiate is like an NFL watching sports bar downtown. You know, we don't really have one of those. Like, with all the, I need big screens.
Used to have Hooters.
Right. Well, it's gone.
It is.
It's.
I don't know that you can keep one downtown right now till we get that thing vibrant again.
And it's going to be tough. And it's going to be tough. So, anyway, we're just keeping you updated on everything that's going on with Show Speed's iShow Speed stream. I'm curious does he spend the entire day here? Or, you know, what's he going
to
do tonight?
I feel like he's awfully close to that bridge.
You think he's going to go over that bridge?
I mean, he went from the U of M area to downtown.
Right.
Are you going to go back in the? I'd love for him to go to Fraser. Well,
he's hit Orange Mound
and bless folks.
I don't think he wants to do that.
I mean, he did in Nashville apparently blessed a mom and her kids. That not necessarily that's what he, you know, you owe that to Memphis, but no, I'm worried he's too close to that bridge.
Right.
Going to head on out of here on to St. Louis, the next stage of the tour?
Yeah, I don't know. I was looking for a schedule. I don't know what schedule is, but he does seem to be going west.
Maybe that's why people don't know you don't know where he's going to go until he pops up. I don't know.
But you knew.
I knew because someone told me he was in Memphis.
Know?
I mean, I think the bus was in Memphis this morning after Nashville, and they had either set it on there or not. I don't know. Maybe the schedule is out there.
Oh, I mean, maybe he like says at the end of the day, like, hey, I'm going to blah, blah, blah tomorrow. I'll be there.
You had the number of stops, right? We know how many
stops,
and how far along we are.
Yeah. I mean, I highly doubt.
Where are you going in Arkansas?
Right. You could go from Memphis to like Texas, right? You could drive somewhere in Texas if you wanted to do that. And then you could kind of work your way up back around.
He's going to hit the Lou. 4 hours. Easy.
St. Louis?
Yeah.
Probably. Yep. That makes a lot of sense. But he's still here.
So. All right. Well, hopefully he stays here. You unlock him in with some barbecue or something.
Yeah.
So he'll bless the city.
I do kind of feel like, you know, yeah, you went to the University of Memphis area. Now you're going down. Like, there's really nowhere else for you to go. Like,
now, what's a guy like this worth?
In terms of
his blow up, just 20 years old and what he's created?
I think he's worth a lot, bro. I mean, these guys make tens of millions of dollars a year doing this. Tens of millions easily. Because you get sub fees, you get, viewership, revenue share. As of 2025, his net worth is estimated to be around 10 million. The guy's 20 years old. He streams for a living, folks. He walks around with a camera crew and he makes, his net worth is $10 million.
I would say I just...
See, you were on this
go ahead and upload them games, CJ.
See? Yeah, you were on it 5-6 years ago. But see, here's the thing about CJ.
We tried to set up his studio. It was too raggedy.
Oh, you tried?
Yeah, we bought a green back screen, you know, green screen, everything for the back. We were going to do it for him. And he was too sorry. I said, nobody going to come watch you be sorry on the game.
Well, you know, you have to kind of be... Like, CJ is too cool for school, right? Like, he's going to be laid back. He's going to be chilling. Like, he ain't going to be...
Yeah,
like,
you got Max's folks that are mad at you right now. You know, Max's is we hold on to Max's dearly as our sports bar downtown.
I didn't mean that in a negative. I love Max's.
You said no spot downtown
NFL,
for NFL games.
NFL, like, you got to
have. You watch Max's NFL?
They don't have big screens, bro. They are if they do now, it's because
20 TVs, brand new covered outdoor patio.
All right, listen.
All right, they're there for you.
I don't have to.
We're not going to say none when Max's is down there waiting on you.
All right, look, I hopefully should not have to
thank you, Jordan.
My honor of Max's Sports Bar. I love Max's Sports Bar. I spent many, many nights down there when I was coming up.
I did Cubs playoffs I've done down there.
And I took, when Randolph Childress came down here to call a game, I took him to Max's downtown. So, I'm just saying, when I think about NFL, it's big screens. Big ones. Big ones. I want big screens, bro. I don't, you know, I can make do in a college basketball Wednesday night with screens like this, you know, little piddly screens like this. But I want the big ones for the NFL, man. That's what I need for the NFL. So if they have that now, and I haven't been there since the patio has been redone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll hold my hand up there. I have not. And if they do, you know, my apologies. But either way, great spot. It's just, you know, NFL, my standards go up. That's all. You know, that's the only.
Understood.
That's all it is. Speaking of which, we do have an NFL game tonight, Thursday Night Football. It will be Green Bay hosting the Washington Commanders. And I believe, again, this number as of right now at ESPN Bet, it's -3.5 +105, +3.5 -125. So, you know, again, that really kind of comes out to -3 consensus, we'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
It opened around here, so not a ton of movement. Maybe a little bit of money on the Commanders, if anything. So, I mean, really, it's just a matter of how healthy is Micah. Will the you know, reps help him? Is the short week going to be a deterrent for him? You know, this is kind of what it comes down to. Packers should get this done at home because they're at home, and you know, certainly they are just sort of valued as a team, you know, 3 to 4 spots ahead of. the Commanders, but anytime Jaden Daniels is on the other side, you feel like you got a chance.
I feel like this has been 2 weeks in a row, and you had the season opener, what was it, Dallas and Philly. Next week, yeah, okay. I was going to say, Thursday night kind of known for not-so-good games.
Right.
At some point. This is obviously great.
Because it's short weeks.
Next week, Bills, Dolphins.
I mean, that's the issue. It's like,
that's when you stood here. But next week begins the drop-off that usually happens.
Right.
Then you got Cardinals, Seahawks can be sneaky good just in terms of the NFC West.
Yeah.
But remember, Seahawks already down 0-1, having lost to a banged-up Niners team to start the year. You got Giants, Eagles. Like, that's as one-sided as it gets. Bengals, Steelers for what should be, any AFC North matchup is usually going to be pretty entertaining. But Chargers, Vikings, okay. We'll see where J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings are. We'll see where the Vikings are then. They had one good quarter, John, offensively.
Yeah.
We'll see where they are then.
That's fair.
Dolphins, Ravens, again, one. Dolphins should not be on any primetime game at this point. Broncos, Raiders, so you've got one. Patriots, Jets, Texans, Bills is week 12. We've got Eagles, Bears. That's the Black Friday game that goes off as a Thursday night game. Then Detroit Lions will be done by Thursday night. Then Detroit Lions, Cowboys, Bucks, Falcons, Seahawks, Rams. And you end on Christmas Day with Chiefs, Broncos. That's actually a great one.
Yeah.
So again, it gets mid. But like you said, nobody, teams don't like playing on these short weeks. But you got enough. You got some solid matchups, and we've started well. Tonight will be one of those,
no doubt. No, I mean, I'm this is a great game.
Chiefs Broncos probably the highlight after this one. Mm-hmm. That's up there.
Yeah,
among the ones we mentioned. Yeah, I'm not putting anything with the Vikings in it yet.
Yes,
that Chargers Vikings game could be big on week 8.
Absolutely right. But yeah, I mean, it's a fun one tonight. I don't think I'll have anything on it. I think I'll just kind of I'll enjoy it. And follow it on my big week for the FedEx Forum lease. We got to get back on the right side of things. I don't know if I have anybody in this game tonight. I don't believe I do, but I probably am playing somebody that has some skin in this game. So, because I got George got Terry McLaurin, so I need that Green Bay defense to stand up tonight, man. I need them to do something.
Oh, they're legit.
Yeah. So. Anyway, should be a fun night of NFL action. We will come back. We're going to be joined by Frank Bonner at 125. We'll talk to him about Memphis football, the American, USF Miami, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.